Okay, how is everybody this morning? Good. How are you feeling? Good. How is your walk in the Lord? Are you on a mountaintop experience? Or are you zoomed down in the valley? Huh? It's nothing new, by the way. Expect it. It's going to come, okay? But where are you? Anybody who is in the dumps at the moment, who feel like, oh, and I'm talking about at every level, huh? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, trouble in the family, trouble here, trouble in my work, whatever. Huh? Where are you, honestly? Are you in the mountain top peak? Oh, you look, oh, everything looks beautiful. Or you in the valley, you look out, oh man, everything is an uphill struggle. So where are you? Honestly, who is struggling? Struggling, struggling, struggling. Okay, we have our struggle. Who is at the mountaintop? Nobody. Nobody looking down and says, oh, wow. Okay, if you are struggling, I've got good news for you. Amen. Huh? Let's turn to Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is it 1 Corinthians? No, it has to be 2nd then. 2nd. Okay. I can't seem to call my program up, so this is like one way of me getting there. Okay, so what does it say down there? It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. 4:17, sorry. Okay? 4:17. So what does it say down there? It says the affliction, the Bible calls it light affliction, all right, that we receive, that God allows to come into our life. What is it doing? What is it doing to you, to me? Hello? So quiet. Hey? It is working for us. What? A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise the Lord. What is it doing? It's working for us. Working for us to so that we will get a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, our reward in heaven. All right? So the God of love is sending those things. Our perspective and our mental state has to shift. Okay? Don't go wallowing around, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. No, 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 no. God is a good God. Amen. He wants something more for you. And the way he's delivering to you comes in a package, all right, that is not always hallelujah, okay? Not always hallelujah. Some of it comes in a what? Bitter, a little bit bitter. You know, we Chinese say bitter things are good for you. For example, bitter gourd. You take bitter gourd, it is very good for you. For your health. All right? So think of it like that, okay? And it is not temporal. It is what? Eternal. So when you are in a difficult position, difficult situation, whatever it is, what should our response be? Oh, no. Oh, no, God. Help! Yeah, we will cry out for help. We will say, hallelujah, Lord. Give me the eyes of faith. Amen. Give me the eyes of faith to see from your view, because you are allowing this to come into my life, because you are working in my life. Amen. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So do not resist. If you resist, we are really being foolish. Yeah? You get it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So where are you now?
Mountaintop.
Hey, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No. Let's get real here. Let's get real. I am in the bottom, Lord. I am in the bottom. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Huh? Where you go? One day at a time. Say Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Yes. He's a good God, isn't he? Does that help?
Yes.
Is it still painful?
Lighter.
Yes. Lighter.
Lighter.
No.
Lighter.
Hallelujah. God help. Yeah, but truly, huh? And it's opened my eyes actually when I saw that. Wow, God.
Amen.
Wow. How should I say? How unappreciative we have been because of our own mind.
Yep.
Huh? Okay? So does that help?
Yes.
Amen. Good. Change your, it's kind of the new term called paradigm shift. The way we look, the way we look at things. Paradigm shift. Wow, mighty big word. Actually, the first time I heard that word, I said, what? What's that? Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I tell you what, when you, okay, I think I got it. I'm calling a program up from a memory stick that is not stuck in there, because I save it on the hard disk directory. So I'm trying, how come it's not there? Amen. That's what happens when you, sorry? Hey? No, I got it. It's just that I am, sorry. I'm trying to do this. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good, huh? God is good. Now, the series of messages that I'm sharing on is about abiding in Christ. But I'm going to leave the reservation this morning temporarily only, okay? And speak on what is, I believe, fit for today, fit for the days that we are in, okay? And it is on signs of the second coming of Christ, taken from Matthew 24. Now, I was really encouraged, actually, okay, and I'll explain why. So I found out from Pastor, hey, you're preaching on Sunday. I say, oh yeah, we've been having such a good time, yeah. Agree. Over the past few months, we have had people, guest speakers come and share with us, isn't it? And I was supposed to preach on some of those months, and I say, oh, praise the Lord, I don't have to preach. Okay? So I was having a fun time. All right? And the schedule was all off and thrown off, so I wasn't sure whether I'm supposed to share, although I do know that the second week of the month I'm supposed to share. So I found out on Tuesday, oh, you got to work. You got to preach on Tuesday. So anyway, praise God. Huh? God is good. God knows I need his help, and he's been good. And so, I started to, ask God, Lord, what do you want to share? I know I have to share on abiding in Christ, but then I felt that I should touch a little bit on this subject matter called sign of the second coming, and from Matthew 24. And then lo and behold, on Friday, all right, I prepared the message already, or the main thing on the second coming. And then on Friday, the list came out about the WPG yesterday. And guess what I was supposed to pray on? Matthew 24. Wow. I said, God, thank you. Thank you for just affirming that this morning, yep, this is on the right track, okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, something is established. And I took it as that, I said, Lord, wow, you're so good to me. You're merciful to me. Because one of the worst things a preacher can do, or the one sharing, is to share something else that God doesn't want to say. And we are saying something else, So, praise God. He is good. So what I'm going to do, is to summarize what Jesus said in answer to the disciples' question in Matthew 24. Tell us, when will these things be? They asked Jesus, tell us this, okay? And then the point of doing this is that we will know what the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ are, and the warnings that Jesus gave, and then what we should do, okay? What we should do. So now, please recognize, I should be the last person talking about this, really, because I know very little, honestly, okay? I only know what the Bible says in Matthew 24. But perhaps one day our good pastor here, who is like, he will talk a bit more on this subject. And if we had said before in some of those things, we know he has God has given him a lot that he can share with us, okay? But let me go down the list on Matthew 24. Now, Jesus, the first thing that Jesus said was that he warned against deception, okay? Signs of the last days. So by implication, all right, one of the signs of the last day, and you got to say, right, that warning is very appropriate. You agree with me? Because why? If you follow the news, they tell lies all the time. You agree? I don't know whether you know. If you think that the news is telling you the truth, you need to wake up. Okay? They spew lies. They only tell you or half truth, which is a lie also. They only tell you what they want to tell you. Okay? You hear me? All right? Our politicians also tell lies. If you don't know, I tell you now, okay? They tell you lies too. Oh, they only tell you what they want you to know also. Yeah? So it's the signs of the last, and it's especially bad in these recent times. Do you understand what I'm saying? These recent times, it's gone berserk. Now, the medical people, even supposedly reputable medical journals and magazines, they don't tell you the whole truth. Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay? Even medical professionals, so-called experts, okay? In the science fields as well, not just medicine, science field, so-called experts, they're telling you things that for all sorts of reasons, I don't know why, all right? Some of it is cowardice, basically, all right? Their own, what I call professional future, reputation future. They only tell you those things that that fits a certain way of thinking. Okay? So we have this real challenge in the last days. Let me give you an example, okay? Who knows climate change? Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Is it real? Well, climate always changes since from a long time ago. But how many of you have heard before climate change, global warming?
Yeah.
Have you heard it before?
Yeah.
Why did they move away from global warming? Have you heard statements made by so-called experts that the rain that comes down will never fill the dams? Have you heard it in Australia? You remember Tim Flannery, that expert? Okay, if you don't know, you go and search it, okay? He told us all, common people, the rains that fall will never fill the dam. All right? This was like 10, 15 years ago, maybe. How many times have the dams in Australia overflow? Huh? How many? This is an example. This is just one example. Was he held accountable? No, he was not held accountable. Okay? So this is just an example. You follow? So we have a challenge. Huh? So Jesus spoke this long, long time ago, okay? All right? So first thing he warned is against deception. Then he goes on and say, there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. The beginning of sorrows is what the term was used. All right? So now, as Christians, are we going to be troubled by all this? No, we mustn't be. Okay? Do not be governed by fear. Fear is not from God. All right? Fear is not from God. We are to live by
faith
in God. Okay? In our God. Not by fear in the things that we hear. All right? It's deception anyway. Huh? Even the things that are happening, we're not supposed to be fearful. We trust in the goodness of God. All right? We believe that as long as we put our faith and our trust in our God, our lives is in His hands. All right? No matter what He brings comes our way. We just read, right? Affliction is working for us something good. And anyway, our reward is great in heaven. Okay? So get that in your head. Are we to be fearful, be troubled by all these things? No, Lord, we choose to put our faith and our trust in You. Okay? The just shall live by faith. Amen. Okay? Not by sight. I don't think I'm going to finish my message at the rate I'm going. Okay? Next one. Persecution of Christians. That's another sign of the end times. And we are in the end times. So what he's saying there is, do not be surprised should we be persecuted at some point of time, even in this country in Australia. The laws are changing. Ungodly men are being used by the devil to change laws in this country, right? That may or may not affect Christians at some point of time. Okay? But they are changing, okay? Yeah. Do not be caught by surprise when it happens.
Yeah.
Because Jesus already said persecutions will come, okay? All right? So next one. Guard against being offended.
Yeah.
And be not surprised by betrayal and hatred. Okay? Verse 10 in Matthew 24. Huh? Guard your heart against offense. Now, it's not talking about only people on the outside, hello, but also within the church, and perhaps especially within the church. Okay? Don't be offended by what the pastor say, all right? We don't understand it. Never mind. Let it become like a water off the duck's back. By the grace of God, we just, Lord, forgive us. We are not going to be offended because you already said, okay? You warn us not to be offended. In fact, if you have been here a little while, I want to bring you to remembrance that series from John Bevere. Huh? Bait of Satan. If you have time, you go back, Google under YouTube, Bait of Satan, and go through that 12 weeks lesson. Oh, may God open our eyes. It is the bait of Satan. Offense is the bait of Satan. Get that into our mind, spirit, okay? And so, it's the bait of Satan to rob us. Okay? Don't be offended. Say, I shall not be offended. I shall not be offended. Never, never, never be offended. Okay? All right? Because offense will cause you to harbor anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And what happens when that happens? You will not be forgiven. If you harbor unforgiveness, you will not be forgiven. Because that's the Lord's prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those who, what? Trespass against us. Wake up. Okay? So, don't be offended, huh? Every time you feel something rising, oh, why did pastor say this? Why did this person do this to me? Why did that person do that to me? Hello? Yeah. Take a step back. Yeah. Breathe. Breathe. Okay? Do not be offended. That's a bait of Satan. Okay? Say that. Bait of Satan. Okay? Because that word offense actually comes from the Greek word scandalon. You go back to John Bevere, I said, huh? John Bevere, we've sat through it a few times already, but I think we are very forgetful people. Yeah? Agree? Forgetful people. And we need to be reminded. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us. Amen. Next one. Rise of false prophet, lawlessness, and backsliding. Backsliding. Signs of the end times. All right? There will be false prophets. There will be lawlessness. Whoa, lawlessness is a big one. What does it mean by lawlessness, actually? You think that, oh, people break laws? No. Lawlessness, the underlying reason or cause of lawlessness is no accountability. All right? Nobody is held to account, so they do what they want to do. And that starts at the top level all the way down. I'm talking about politicians, civil authorities, and so on and so forth. You get what I'm saying? Then the society, because we think that we can get away with everything, we see people get away with everything. Guess what happened? The society will end in lawlessness. Yeah? You get it? So, sign of the end times. This is what we are going through at the moment. In America, you see that happening. People go into the shop, take what they want, and walk out. Have you seen that? Are you all aware? All aware? There are people who just go to the shop, take what they want, and walk out.
It's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the experience, right? We were having coffee. Somebody came in, grabbed a bag, and ran off. in Perth, by the way. But it's quite bad over there at the moment. Lawlessness. That's lawlessness. Sign of the end times. Have you ever seen that before in your life? When we were growing up, do you see that? Hardly. But now, sign of the end times. Yeah? Okay, so wake up, huh? Jesus is coming soon. Okay? And backsliding. So we have to watch ourselves. Okay? Backslide. I don't want to talk too much about that because perhaps after that I can just touch a little bit. More. Hallelujah. What's next? Worldwide evangelism. Praise God. Amen. Huh? That is a sign of the end times. So as a church, we must go with where the church is going. Huh? When Byford opens up, wow, praise God. That's evangelism for you. But it's also on a global scale. Huh? So that's going on. Praise God. Huh? So let's pull our weight, whatever it is. Okay? And pray. Intercede. Pray. God, you are doing this work. Huh? Open the hearts of men. Shine your light, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, next one. I don't want to talk too much about this, but because I don't know much about this. But abomination of the desolate. Our pastor's is good at that, huh? But many people believe that it happened in AD 70, okay? The abomination of the desolate, okay? In Israel. Okay, anyway, like I say, I'm no expert, so I better... Next one, please. Great deception by false prophets and false Christ. Now, the thing about this thing that we have to pay attention is that these prophets, false prophets and false Christ, they can do what? Signs and wonders. Oh! They can do miracles. Wow! Huh? Really? You mean they can do? Yeah. To deceive even the very elect, the Bible says. The very elect. When the Bible says the very elect, he's not talking about the average Christian. They are talking about people who are scholarly in the Bible, who are maybe men of God, women of God. Huh? Okay, I don't know, okay? But I know they are somebody important. Okay, in the Christendom, so-called, huh? Hello? Yeah. So don't look for signs and wonders. Don't go looking for signs and wonders because you will see signs and wonders and they may not be from who? May not be from God. Okay? Get it?
Yeah.
Okay? All right, praise God, huh? I'll let the pastor talk about what we should be looking for. Okay? All right? But really, everything that we see, observe, has to be filtered through the Word of God. Okay? Because they may do signs and wonders, but ultimately there will be something that will be off from the Word of God. And then we know, oh, no, this is not from God. Because why? It is not in accordance with the Word of God, okay? Because it will look like the real thing, okay? It will look so real that we will be challenged to know the difference, okay? You get that?
Yeah.
Okay, next. Signs in the heavens, okay? That means things that are unusual in the heavens. I'm talking about stars and moons and all those things, huh? Signs in the heavens. All right. Next one, next slide. Where am I? Next one. Okay, then says that sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven and Jesus will appear in a cloud. Everyone will see that happening. Okay? That's what the Bible says in Matthew 24. Okay? Excuse me. However, note that it tells us that that no one knows. Jesus said, no one will know the day or the hour that will happen. All right? So have you ever heard of people who say it's going to happen on this day? Have you? Yeah. So you know, is that from God? Is that in accordance with Scripture? They may do signs and wonders, okay? They may do great philanthropic, charitable works, and they may have thousands of people going to that so-called church, and then they will tell you, Jesus is coming on this day at this hour. Is it true? No. Okay? Because it violates the very words of Jesus. Jesus said, no one will know. Okay? Not even the angels will know. Only God the Father. All right? Only God the Father. And then one more sign is that as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, verse 37. And basically what it's trying to say there, and in Matthew 24 it describes that people will be eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage. What is it trying to say there? What does those terms tell you? Hey? So, I can't hear you. Sinful. No. Not only, I mean, yeah, sinful. But he's actually trying to say that life goes on like normal, like every day. People are eating. Are you eating every day? If you're not, wow. Are you drinking? Yeah. Are you people getting married? And getting married? And having families? Yeah. It will be like a normal day, yeah? But there are other things happening in the days of Noah. But basically, when he says that, he's trying to say that the man, the people then, their thinking, the way that they are thinking is not, they are not focused on God, on the spiritual things, okay? They are only caring about their existence here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Huh? Their focus is not looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. Their focus is also on something else. Okay? All right? Yeah? So like the days of Noah, that is exactly what's going on. People go to work, come back, take care of their family and all those things. Yeah? They are not focused on what the Bible says that Jesus is coming again. And you better be awake. Amen. Don't sleep. Okay? So, what should our attitude be then? Next slide, please. What then should be our attitude and posture? Now, when Jesus was sharing all those signs, in the middle of his sharing, he told a little parable of the fig tree. And he said, learn the parable of the fig tree to see the signs that it is near, at the very doors. Huh? And then he goes on in chapter 25. Okay? 25. And he told the parable of the wise and foolish virgins to bring across a lesson. The lessons, parables are told to bring across a point that Jesus used, okay? And so, after telling the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, Jesus said in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Okay? And the word that he used, watch, is basically from a Greek word, gregorio, something like that, gregorio. And it means stay awake, keep awake, be vigilant, and be watchful. Don't fall asleep. Huh? Don't fall asleep. And then he gave the example of the master of this house. And he says that if the master of this house knows when a thief is going to break in, the hour in which a thief is breaking, do you think the master of the house will go and fall asleep? Or will he stay and stay awake, even if he has to take a toothpick and hold up his eyelid? Okay? And make sure that the thief don't break in at that hour. Okay? Yeah? Do you think that? So, the point Jesus is trying to say to us, look for the sign. Learn from the parable of the fig tree. See what's happening. And when you see what's happening, and you know that it's going to happen, stay awake. Stay awake. All right? Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Don't be like the foolish virgins. Next slide, please. Be watchful. Okay? So, what are we to be watchful against? Number one, we are to be watchful against unbelieving and scoffing attitude. All right? This is what one of the things we have to be watchful for. Because this was the attitude that the Bible spoke against. You see, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, everything is still the same. They continue as it was from the beginning of creation. Huh? So, no, not in my lifetime. No, it's not going to happen. No. Believe. Don't scoff. Look for the signs. See what's happening. Huh? And prepare. Okay? Be prepared. Now, what does it mean to be prepared? To be prepared, there is a personal responsibility. Okay? He told the story of the virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins. Okay? They all had a lamb and the oil to go with the lamb. And they all went to welcome Jesus, the master, the bridegroom. Not Jesus, but yeah, okay. But the bridegroom, according to the story, right? Okay? But then, the bridegroom didn't turn up yet. And they all waited so long, in the night, and they fell asleep. And then suddenly, the call went out. The bridegroom is coming. Everybody wake up, okay? And they start to trim their lamb, okay? And then some discovered we are running out of oil. But there are others who had supply of oil. And they trimmed their lamb, and they were able to welcome the bridegroom. Okay? So, now, the five unwise virgins went to the wise virgins and said, hey, you have extra oil. Give us oil. And the wise virgins said, no. We only have enough for ourselves. So, what is it trying to say there? Don't look to others for your own salvation, okay? You have a personal responsibility, okay? God has given us this great salvation. Don't lose it. Watch over it. Work out your salvation, the Bible says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation as God works in each of us. Hallelujah. We don't have to do all the work. But as God works in us, we will do the work. That is our God, okay? He never leaves us on our own because he knows we are but dust, flesh. Okay? We cannot do it on our own strength. Get that in our head. Can we do it in our own strength? Yes, you can for a while. And then after that, whatever it is, I've come to the stage in my life where, physically speaking, I don't have the kind of energy or the strength to do like the younger people. When you are young, you say, oh, I can conquer the world. I can. My son just told me last night, Alexander the Great, by the age of 30, he already conquered the whole, almost the whole world. Huh? But he died at 33. Huh? So you see, that is the reality is the flesh is weak, okay? But we thank God. God say he works in each of us to do the work. Huh? So that we can work ourselves. That is our God, okay? Our faithful God, our good God. We can trust in him. Amen. Huh? Trust in our God. The point is this. Recognize, number one, we can do it. I am weak. Okay? My flesh is weak. But his grace is sufficient. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Huh? So, what must we do? What is the thing that we must do? First, we recognize that. And then we go to him. And we tell him, Lord, I cannot do it, Lord. Help me, Lord. Huh? Help me, Lord. Yeah? Help me, Lord. That's one of the songs, right? You sang, help me, Lord. Huh? Help me. I am going to give you the consent that I cannot do it, that I am totally dependent upon you. Huh? So that I can work out my salvation, my own salvation. Nobody is going to work out for you, okay? You are responsible. Say, I am responsible for myself. God is going to hold me responsible. Individually. My father is not going to save me. My mother is not going to save me. I have to depend on Jesus myself. Okay? For that great salvation. And I have to work it out. Nobody else can save you, okay? No lifeguard, huh? Jesus is the only lifeguard. Okay? Now, there's an old Sunday school song that goes like this. According to the parable that Jesus said, give me oil in my land, keep me burning, burning, burning. You remember that song? Yeah. Ah, what is that oil? Yeah, praise God, you all know that song, huh? So sing it. Just give me oil, Lord. I don't have oil. I'm running out of oil. I'm not an electric car. But even electric car need the oil somewhere. All right? They're just lying to you anyway. another one of those scams, I call them. Anyway, God help us all. Don't let me start. Give me oil in my land. The oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. In essence, huh? Jude 1:20 says, huh? Build yourself up in your most holy faith. What are we to do? Praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Lord, we need your oil. We need your oil. We need your oil. Hallelujah. The oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Quicken us by your mighty Spirit. It is not by might, not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? Now, so that was where the five foolish virgins went off. Okay? The five foolish virgins went off because they ran out of oil. In other words, they were not preparing themselves every day, pray in the Spirit, oil of the Spirit, oil of the Spirit in me, Lord, oil of the Spirit, so that when the time comes, all right, my lamp is still burning. It doesn't blow out. It doesn't run out of oil. Hallelujah. All right? So let that be a challenge to each one of us. Huh? In essence, it is the enduring principle of spiritual life. Oil of the Holy Spirit. And this is where I pivot back to abiding in Christ. Okay? We're going to abide in Christ. Okay? So, the enduring principle of spiritual life is to abide in Christ. Okay? We need to abide in Christ. Can I ask you a question? Are you all forgetful people?
Yes.
Do you remember what I shared about abiding in Christ before? I'll quickly look back. Okay, let me help you, okay? All right, praise God. All right, let's recap from some of the summaries of abiding in Christ. Okay? So abide in Christ. When we accepted Jesus' invitation, come to me. Okay? We no more have to struggle. Jesus gives us rest. All we did was to say, Lord, I come to you. I need you. Huh? All right? But when he gave us the rest, soon we realize that unless we abide in him, we lose that rest very quickly. Yeah? So we really need to abide in Christ. And the secret of abiding in Christ is we need to give time for Jesus. Okay? We need to practice daily. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, you are the vine. I'm the branch. I need to abide in you. I need to draw from you that spirit, the lifeblood. I need to draw from you. Wisdom. I need to draw from you. Strength. I need to draw from you. Fill in the blanks. Okay? What is it that you need? Okay? Hello? Abide in Christ. Huh? Fill in the blank. Isn't that wonderful? Blank check. Okay? Fill in the blank. What is it you need for that day? Healing? Strength? Whatever. Fill in the blanks. I come to you this day, Lord. You know what I need. Sometimes I don't even know what I need, but I draw from you anyway. Hallelujah. You can pray like that too, huh? Because we don't know. Huh? But God knows. Hallelujah. He's the omniscient God. He is the omnipresent, omnipotent. Okay? Sometimes we don't even know, right? Agree? Yeah? We don't know what's coming our way. We don't know what we need. But we can praise God. We can abide in him by saying, I draw from you, Lord. I draw from you. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Sika Rabbaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are a good God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Huh? And then next, the next part is to find rest for your soul. Okay? So first time you come, he gives us rest. All right? Then he say, take my yoke upon you. Next one. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me and find rest for your soul. Okay? So there is a difference between receiving and finding. Huh? What we need to do is not just receive. Remember, you need to abide. Basically, you need to surrender to Jesus. Take your yoke upon him so that you will know how to find a constant supply of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Hello? Yeah. Surrender to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. Huh? Don't know how to say, never mind. Just say in your own way. Huh? Just connect with him. Hallelujah. Give him time. Every morning, whatever suits you, works for you. I'm a late night person. Early morning is a challenge. But now as I get older, early morning is easier. But when I was young, I could never get up in the morning. Oh, it's so hard. Yeah? My son has the same problem too, I know. It comes from the same genes. Hallelujah! Holy Spirit, come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shakarabayandai. Amen. So, the point is, although we know, right? Sometimes we still resist. Huh? We still resist. And one of the challenge is the resistance, okay, is because of basically what now we sometimes call unbelieving believers. We don't believe God enough, so to speak, because our minds have been twisted by the devil. He has slandered God's goodness. He has slandered God's character. Then we think, we think that God is going to rob us of something good for us. So we fail to believe him. We fail to trust and say, Lord, you really have good things in store for us. Help us. We want to trust you. We want you. You, Lord, you decide for us. You choose for us. Don't let us choose good. Don't let us choose good. Let God choose the best for you. That is the worst possible thing. You think you choose the good things. But actually, God has the best for you. And you miss out God's best because we choose good. Isn't that terrible? Yeah? Because why? We believe the slander of the devil. From the very first day in creation, Adam and Eve, that's what happened to them. The devil was able to turn their eyes away from God. All right? Thinking. Right? Remember what he said? Oh, God is going to deprive you of all these things. Okay? In essence, my translation. Donald's translation. Okay? But in essence, that's what happened. Is it too long? Finish? Okay, so. Is it too long? I get the message. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Abide in Christ is exactly what we desperately need. Huh? Because we are too weak to keep the laws of God. We are too weak to walk the right way. But we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus, in his victory. In his victory. So we abide in him. And we thank God. Everything, all our life, our victory, we thank God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ. Those few words, I tell you, is so powerful. But of God you are in Christ. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, in the finished work on the cross, when he went to the cross, where were we? When Jesus went to the cross, where were we? Hello? We were in him. We went to the cross. We died with him. Say, I died with in Christ. I died. I am crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay? So we died with him. Okay? Get that in our head. The reason why we die with him is the Adamic nature died when Christ died. Hello? Say, I died with Jesus. Huh? Hallelujah. But of him, you are in Christ. So we died together with Christ when he died on the cross. So that the Adamic, the cursed nature died. So death no longer rule over us. If you are dead, can your flesh still function if you are dead? No. What works now? When Jesus arose, we were in him when he arose in victory. Do you get that message? See, that's why we went through that watchman knee. You remember? We will win. We have won. We continue to win. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. We sit with him there in the heavenly places. Okay? We are in Christ. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Putting my faith in the Son of God. Depends on which version you want, but I like the faith of the Son of God because I think my faith is weak. So I choose to trust in the faith of Jesus. All right? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. Lord, we need to abide in you. Every day, help us. Oh, Rabasika, Rabasuka, Rabasakaya. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Open our eyes of understanding. Open our minds that we can see, Lord, the richness, the fullness of what you've done for us when you went to the cross. Lord, we thank you. You not only took away our sin, Lord, there was much more that you've done for us. You have raised us up alive. You have seated us in the heavenly places with you. You want us, Lord, to walk in victory. You want to use us, Lord. Lord, to be the light to shine for you. Thank you, Jesus. But we just need to abide in you. We need to abide in you daily, Lord. We need to abide in you. Hallelujah. Lord, release your Holy Spirit to us. Help us to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Praying the Spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabasika Rabasuka Rabayanda La 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 Masaka Rabayandai. Lord, keep our oil burning, Lord. Give us oil in our lamps, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. You are the God of glory. You have done great and mighty things. We, the people of God, will cry and shout and sing. Great is our God and greatly to be praised because of the mighty things that you've done for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabasika, Rabasaka, la 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 mandai. Help us, Lord, to stay awake as we see the signs of your second coming. Lord, help us to be vigilant. Help us to be watchful. Oh, help us to be prepared in the name of Jesus. We don't want to miss out, Lord. We don't want to be missed out because, Lord, we have been asleep. Wake us up in the name of Jesus by the power of your Holy Spirit. Cause your fire to burn in us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. And we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Lord, may our eyes always see you the way you are. Lord, good God, merciful God, loving God, hallelujah. Shine your light upon us that we see light, Lord. Let us see you in your rightful place, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Shakarabah.